Welcome, everyone, back. And the outstanding Phil Steele joins us, the best in the business. Phil, as you and I were talking before we started this, what a difference a year makes.
Oh, it just huge, Steve. Last year at this time, I was doing radio shows, and I was saying after talking to all the head coaches last year, I talked to a little over 100 last year, that I felt good we were going to play football because they all had the attitude, you know what, you put the ball in the field, we'll be ready to play. And then conferences started dropping, and there was just in the back of your mind, maybe we're not going to play football this year. But we played, and, you know, the biggest difference this year, Steve, was with the first-year head coaches. Last year, with first-year head coaches, I sent them over my sheets with my 100-plus players on the roster, all my little notes on the players, and I would tell them, you know, okay, put me in the right order and tell me a little something about the players. And the new coaches would say, Phil, you know more about the team than I do. I haven't even seen these guys in pads yet. So it was refreshing to talk to. I talked to a little over 110 head coaches this year, and all post-spring, and everybody knew their team.
Yeah, which is a big plus, because I know Penn State's going to play Auburn, and Brian Harsin's in his first year down at Auburn. And so now, at least after the Boise State run, he at least, as you can tell when you talk with him, he at least has a feel for the personnel he has.
Yeah, and he likes what he's inherited there. I mean, they've got Bo Nix back at quarterback, Tank Bigsby back at running back. Probably the biggest question mark with the team is the receiver position. A lot of unproven talent there. They did add a Georgia wide receiver, but other than that, the team looks pretty good, especially a linebacker. They got Zacoby McClain, yeah. Owen Popo. They make up my number 8-rated linebacking unit out there. So, yeah, if it was last year at this time, he'd be like, I don't even know this team. But, yeah, at least he knew them this year. And I think Auburn's going to be a good team. They play a tough schedule, though.
By the way, for everybody, Barnes & Noble in our area is the area to get Phil Steele's magazine. It is, you know, people ask me, you know, what do you buy? It's the only one I buy. So I just want everybody to know that's how strongly I feel about Phil's content, because you're updating it daily. So when you're updating it daily, what is the transfer portal meant to how you update? Because you mentioned the wide receiver going from Georgia to Auburn. He just did that. So what does it mean to your updating all the time in terms of trying to make sure that the publication has the latest information?
Well, I think the best thing we did, Steve, was I used to go to the press towards the end of May, and this year I moved it back to June 15th. So we were able to capture all the transfer portal moved as of June 15th. And to give you an example, Luke McCaffrey was at Nebraska last year and transferred to Louisville. He was a backup quarterback there. And then at the end of May, he opts to transfer out and hit the portal again. And I'm like, okay, well, we're going to the press June 15th. We'll never find out where Luke McCaffrey lands. And then lo and behold, Coach Blumgren of Rice gives me a call on June 13th. Says, Phil, we just landed Luke McCaffrey. So we took him, plugged him in as a starting quarterback at Rice, changed the quarterback write-up, changed the offense write-up, changed the total write-up for the team a little bit. Not major. I mean, you never reflect on just one guy, but we were able to capture all that. So if they landed anywhere before June 15th, we've got it in the magazine. And now there has been a couple since then, but I think we captured the majority of them.
Yeah, which is outstanding, because it's not easy to keep tracking when they can move almost any time they want. Literally. I mean, I know.
And talking to the head coaches, Steve, they're all like, you know what, we got to re-recruit our players. I hope we can, you know, I feel real good about the running back position, provided none of these guys leave.
Right. Right.
That was a lot of the topics this year.
Yeah, no, exactly right. That's when you talk to them. They literally have to re-recruit their team every year. So a lot of people want to know what your opinion is of Penn State. They started out 0-5 last year, won their last four. It's an interesting team with 54 of the 105 that they had in the spring were freshmen or redshirt freshmen, but it's a veteran team in a lot of ways. How do you look at Penn State?
Yeah, and keep in mind, freshmen and redshirt freshmen might just be sophomores, actually, right, because they played last year. They just didn't move their name. So I did talk to some coaches that would say, oh, we've got all these freshmen. I'm like, you know, some of those guys are really sophomores. I mean, they started 12 games. They're a sophomore, for crying out loud. But when I look at Penn State, I see a much improved team. In fact, they are my number one most improved team in the country. You go back to last year, this was not a Penn. They opened up 0-5, but it's not like Penn State was being destroyed on the field. You go back to that Indiana game, They had a 488 to 211 yard edge, and somehow, some way, controversial 2-point conversion at the end. They end up losing that game, which I think set the tone for the early part of the season. And you know, Ohio State only beat them by 13. I thought they played a decent game against them. Iowa was a team that's just blowing everybody out, and did get the best of Penn State. But I like the way they finished, and there's plenty of talent here. As you know, I've talked to Coach Franklin each of his eight years that he's been at Penn State, and I like the way he's built this roster, and they're a deep roster. You go three deep on this team. I think the key to Penn State this year is going to be quarterback play. They need Sean Clifford to improve. I thought he took a little step back last year, but remember last year the running back position, you looked really strong heading into the year. Then they lose their top guy, lose the number two guy, lose the number three guy, and all of a sudden you are dealing with freshmen last year. I think they're in better shape. Clearly a running back, offensive line, across the board this year. They are my number one most improved team in the country. Now, playing Wisconsin on the road, Iowa on the road, Ohio State on the road doesn't make it easy to be a main contender in the East, but I've got them finishing second in the East next to some team. Ohio State at first.
Yeah, about 300-plus miles west of here, which you talk about quarterbacks, so I got to ask you, what's the read you're getting on C.J. Stroud?
I think C.J. Stroud is going to be the starting quarterback at Ohio State. He put on 10 pounds of muscle this year, looked good in the spring game. The funny thing and the surprising thing to me, Steve, is if I was the head coach of Ohio State last year, I would have let some of these guys throw some passes late in the games when it was a blowout, because they actually entered the season with zero career pass attempts for the first time since 1952. But all the talk is, you know, and the talk coming out of the spring was, we're not going to announce a starting quarterback, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be C.J. Stroud. And in this era where the backup quarterbacks, once it's announced there's a starter, they have to transfer, I think Ryan Day is doing the proper thing by keeping Kyle McCord and Jack Miller motivated, and they will push Stroud. But I think Stroud not only wins the job, I think he'll be one of the better quarterbacks in the Big Ten this year.
Penn State will open the season, as you mentioned, at Wisconsin. What's the feeling at Wisconsin about Graham Mertz, who had the fabulous opener at Illinois, then got COVID, was out 3 weeks, and never seemed the same after that? What did Paul Chryst tell you about him?
You know, I didn't get to talk to Coach Chryst, but I will say this with Wisconsin. I think Graham Mertz will be a much improved quarterback this year, more like the Illinois game rather than what we saw, as you mentioned, when he came back from COVID last year and definitely struggled. So I think when you look at Mertz, he's a guy that has got all the tools you want. He was my number three rated quarterback, I think, coming out of high school, three or four, something in that area. And he has all the tools you want. He's got a better supporting cast. Last year, Wisconsin only averaged 3.9 yards per carry. Now, Steve, you're probably used to Wisconsin averaging 5 or 6 yards a carry.
Yep.
So 3.9 is unusual. And the reason was they didn't have that feature back. Jalen Berger didn't really take over till the end of the year. This year, they've got four VHTs running behind a veteran offensive line. And for your listeners, VHT is a very highly touted running back. Berger was my number 11 out of high school. They add in a Chez Malouzi out of Clemson, who's my number 15 rated. They got Julius Davis, Loyal Crawford. So with a better run game, I think we'll see Graham Mertz be a much improved quarterback this year.
You know, a lot of people nationally are looking at Oklahoma. So let me tell you, tell me, what do you see in Oklahoma? Because one area, it's one thing about Spencer Rattler, which you're going to get into here, I'm sure, in a moment. But it seems like Oklahoma defensively is a better team than they have been the past 5 years. How do you view it? Do you see the same thing?
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. I'm right there with you on that. And, you know, you go back to Lincoln Riley's first 3 years. They made the playoff each of the 3 years. Then in the playoff, they gave up 54 points to Georgia. They gave up 45 points to Alabama. They gave up 63 points to LSU. Is there any wonder why they lost in the playoff each of the first 3 years of Lincoln Riley? But you hit it right on the head. Last year, I thought the defense made major strides. They only allowed 21.7 points per game. And naturally, everybody's back. And here's the thing. The playoff teams last year, the four playoff teams, everybody this year I talked to, Steve, all the head coaches were like, all right, this is the deepest we've ever been in spring. We normally are scraping to get a two deep together, and now we go three deep in spring. We have the deepest team we ever had. Everybody's got 16, 17, 18 returning starters. Like Oklahoma, they have 15 returning starters coming back. The four teams that made the playoff last year all have like 9, 10, 11 returning starters and all lost their starting quarterback. So the door's wide open. I think Oklahoma's a complete team because They have that potent offense. My number one offensive line, the guy I think is going to win the Heisman Trophy, loaded receivers and running backs, but this time they bring a defense to the party. They got my number three rated defensive line, number nine set of linebackers, and number three DBs. So add it all up, I think Oklahoma, this is their year, and I'm calling for their first national title since 2000.
Yeah, no, and a lot of people could see why. Look, if you can play defense and you've got a quarterback that now is a veteran, I mean, Rattler's now a veteran, which means whatever Lincoln Riley's thinking, he's probably thinking along the same lines. I mean, and that's important, I mean, because the trust between a coach and a quarterback is really important, Phil.
Yeah, when he's had three veteran quarterbacks, two of them won the Heisman Trophy, and the other one was a Heisman finalist. So he does pretty good in that range. And the thing I really like about Spencer Rattler, if you watch that Texas game last year, he was struggling. He got benched in the second quarter. Now, in this era of hit the portal, you wonder what his attitude would be. He came off that bench, and he was an improved quarterback the rest of the year, and I think we'll see that this year.
Who's more of a challenger, Iowa State or Texas in the Big 12?
I think it's definitely Iowa State. Yeah. This is Matt Campbell's most complete team. Almost everybody's back from last year. And last year he had an inexperienced offensive line. And at the end of the year, Matt Campbell, if you go back to his days at Toledo, always develops young offensive lines. They were a semifinalist for the Joe Moore Award. Well, this year he's got the entire offensive line back. In fact, Coach Campbell told me it's the deepest offensive line he's had here. They have a chance to be special. Okay, let's take that offensive line, plug it in with a veteran quarterback like Brock Purdy, who's been there for, 10 years. They've got a running back in Breece Hall, who's among the best in the country, the best tight end room in the country with Chase Allen, Charlie Kolar. Xavier Hutchinson is explosive at receiver, and then defensively they always play great defense. Mike Rose is back at linebacker, along with the entire unit. So they've got the offense, they got the defense. They do have to play Oklahoma on the road, but that's the only game they'll be an underdog in all year.
All right, so now let's get to, obviously, the SEC. Alabama's the defending national champion again. You mentioned, of course, new quarterback. A, Alabama, but then B, who can challenge them in the SEC?
I think they've got two legitimate challengers this year, Steve. And for everybody who, after last year, thinks Alabama wins the national title every year, keep in mind, they didn't win the national title in 18 or 19.
That's
how
right.
about that?
Right.
So when you take
and
a look at that.
Didn't make the playoff in 19.
Right, and which is just that. So Alabama does not automatically win the championship every year, and I know they'll be picked number one by everybody this year. But and they are good. They've got the most talent out there. And even though they lose their number one first round draft pick quarterback, two first round draft pick receivers, three offensive linemen, guess what? They did the same thing last year. They lost the exact same combination and still turned out pretty good. But they're two legitimate challengers, Texas A&M. You talk about recruiting for Nick Saban. Jimbo Fisher's doing the same type of recruiting in his 4 years at A&M. And when I was talking to Coach Fisher last year, we were going over the offensive line for the Joe Moore Award at the end of the year, he said even though they're going to lose four starters, he feels this year's offensive line may be better athletically, have more NFL guys in it, and be better overall. So that sort of caught my ears. And if you look at A&M, your two weaknesses are, well, they lose four offensive linemen and they lose their quarterback. I like what I saw to Haynes King. I think he's a mobile guy that can throw the football. I think he's in for a big year this year. The offensive line, according to Coach Fisher, and he told me it again this spring, could be better than last year. Everybody else on the team is back, including my number one running backs in the country. And if you look at their loss last year to Alabama, they lost by 28, but it was really three or four plays in the first half. Go back and watch the first half of that game. Yep. Three plays go their way. They might have been winning at the half, but it went against them, and they ended up losing by 28. They get them at home, College Station, October 9th. I think the Aggies have a chance. And then the other team is Georgia, and Georgia really has a path to get to the SEC championship game. They've got JT Daniels back at quarterback, one of the best running backs, offensive lines in the country, my number three defense in the country, and you got to love their schedule. They only play three true SEC road games this year, and those are against Auburn, Vanderbilt, and Tennessee, all have first-year head coaches. So once they get past Clemson in the opener, they'll be favored in all their games. That Clemson game, I only have them a three-point dog, so if they win that, they're in great shape. And keep in mind, the last 2 years they played Alabama in the postseason, or the last two times they played Alabama in the postseason, they led almost start to finish in both games. I think they trailed for a grand total of 2 minutes, yet came up with two losses. So they know they can play with Alabama. I think Georgia and Texas A&M are clear threats this year.
Yeah, they trailed for the wrong 2 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. And then, you know, and when it comes to the Texas A&M game, this is what Jack Ham and I tell people all the time. They're usually, I don't know, 7 or 8 pivotal plays in the game. I said, but you don't know if the pivotal play is play 8, play 20, or play 28. I mean, correct. You know, everybody always looks at the end of a game all the time. Can't do that. So it's the total body. Clemson has had an incredible road in the ACC. Obviously, no Trevor Lawrence. Oh, and here's the other part. No Notre Dame, all right, because they're going back to being an independent. What's the Clemson road this year?
Well, they're going to be favored in every game. I think Georgia's the toughest test of the year, and I believe the two teams in the ACC that can stay with Clemson are North Carolina and Miami, and they don't play either during the regular season. They'd have a chance of playing both of those in the ACC championship game. Now, DJ Uiagalelei for Clemson is an outstanding QB. I think he's going to have a good year. He's not going to have Trevor Lawrence exactly, but they put up 38 points per game with him. He's got a better offensive line in front of him than they had last year. They got the number one defensive line in the country. But they are, I think Miami and North Carolina have closed the gap. Watch. Yep. Sam Howell.
Yep.
Going to have a big year for North Carolina. Even though he loses top two running backs, top two receivers, I think he has a big year. And then Miami's got De'Ara King. And if De'Ara King's 100% healthy, which I think he will, he's dynamic. They got an excellent set of running backs behind him. And I think both those teams can give Clemson a run for their money. But I went way out of the box, Steve. My final four would be Clemson, yep. Ohio State, yeah. Alabama, and Oklahoma. How's that for being a risk taker this year?
Well, I'll tell you right now, you and I are going to Vegas.
Yeah. we'll be able to put up a couple hundred and win a couple hundred.
Yeah, exactly. But it's funny because that was exactly the question I was going to ask you next was who you had in your final four. Which you know, obviously it's an answer I already knew. But when we do this down the road, just so you know, I'm not going to ask you who you think your final 12 is.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yes,
that's going to be
That's coming in like 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to ask you, Phil, who do you have in your final 12? I'm like, okay. Start doing that. Phil, an absolute pleasure. As you know, you and I could knock around football here for about 4 or 5 hours, but the time you give us is gold. And Barnes & Noble, but also there's one other outlet you should mention to people just in case.
Yeah, the places to get the magazine, Steve, it's 352 pages, like getting 130 different media guides rolled into one, and we give you the same amount of coverage on Akron that we do on Ohio State and Alabama, 2 full pages. Barnes & Noble's the main location, but it's also at Books A Million, so those 2 locations this year, or you can go online if you don't find it. It is selling out at a lot of the Barnes & Nobles, so you can go online at philsteele.com, that's STEELE.com, And you're not lying, Steve. We could go on. I could talk to you for a couple hours in football. This is a great. I'm enjoying this a lot.
Yep, same here, my friend. Appreciate you more than you know. We reference you and the magazine all the time for good reason. It's the best out there. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, thanks for having me on, Steve. And tell Jack I said hi as well.
Absolutely. We'll make that a priority.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Steve. A lot of fun today.